Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio. To Under a Shady Tree with Reverend Terry Power and Robin McKean. Come on in. Grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These two mountain witches are about to start their talk. Terry and Robin. And good evening, everybody. Good afternoon, good morning, good wherever in the world you are. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are under a shady tree with Terry and Robin. And my love, my lady, my wife, my partner, my best friend, my everything. Hey, darling, how you doing tonight?
Hi, sweetheart. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Had an amazing and productive day in Houston, Texas today, so it's all good.
Good.
So, yeah, funny enough, the weather's not that much warmer down here the way the cold front has angled across the country.
Huh.
It was a little strange today, but it was a beautiful sunny day, and was with some pretty good people, doing some training and meeting some new people. It was all good. So how about you? How's things up there?
Good. It's been chilly and raining and dreary for the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 days. I think today was probably the least rainy and dreary of the days, but it hasn't been very cold. It's been like, you know, light jacket weather, unless, of course, it's been pouring rain out. And then you'd need an umbrella, but still could get away with a light jacket. It hasn't been really, you know, December cold. It's still like in the 40s and 50s, and normally here in the mountains in December, it sits down in the 30s, you know, in the morning when I leave the house, if not colder. So I'm pretty happy about the temperature. I'm just not happy about the incredible amount of rain we've had this week.
Yeah, rainy, dreary, yucky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I know that Tuesday was just absolutely the worst day of that. That's for certain.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, tonight is the first, it's the 1st of December, but it's also our first Thursday. And in keeping with our plans, tonight is open topic. And
yay!
Yeah, we've got a topic in mind and some stuff to talk about, but we are actively encouraging people to call in and join the show tonight. And I know that at least once while I was trying to get the show started, BTR kicked the host out, and I had to log back in. So
I'm a little concerned about the switchboard, but we're going to do our best to take callers tonight. And that number to call in, if you're not already familiar, is 646-564-9714. So if you got something on your mind, whether it's what we're talking about or something else, call up. Join the show. We'll change topics and go with what the Holy Ones bring us.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, I know that, about 5 minutes ago, Robin and I discussed the topic that we're going to start with. And it comes from a post on Facebook that I saw Robin share about teaching our kids activities and to do stuff that the outcome of the activity is the reward. And for those that aren't sure what I'm talking about, plant a garden. Learn to build things. I have at various times when I'm down in the basement doing woodworking projects, I've had our little girl down there. Now, she may not be ready to build furniture, mm-hmm. but she at least has some concept of what goes into building something. And, that's kind of cool. She's a very artistic young lady. And very creative, and she would much rather sit with scrap paper and glue and string and some of the things that she piles onto that craft table amaze me. It frightened me at times, but she is creating, and she is creative, and her imagination is growing. And her ability to visualize when she gets older and we start really working with energy with her,
mm-hmm.
her ability to visualize and see the outcome is going to be so much larger because of the craftiness, because of the playing in the garden with mommy and all of the things that she has done that have moved her toward creativity, imagination. All of that is going to make her incredibly powerful as a young witch. And that's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, she's certainly not one of the glow kids.
Yeah.
I mean,
no.
She'll play a little bit on the tablet, but mostly she's listening to music. And, so she's not a big video gamer, which is a blessing all in itself. She can get just as much or more out of a canvas and paint
mm-hmm.
as she gets out of that one little game she plays with dragons or something.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful and. A true blessing that Robin brought her up that way before I came into the picture. I just kind of picked up on the same thing and included her in my projects. But she was already brought up that way, and I inherited the benefit of all of Robin's work before me. And, for that, I am grateful as well. So, Robin, I know that you had some ideas on this as well. So, I'm going to step back and let you talk for a minute.
I think that one of my goals with raising my daughter, and what has been rather rewarding is setting her and giving her tools and saying, here's how you can cook, or here's how you make a garden, or here's how you, paint, or here's how you color. And she then uses what I've taught her as a jumping off point, and all of a sudden she's being creative and she's taking it down roads I never would have thought to go. And it's such a joy to see her utilize that. Just blossom. And I don't worry about the fact that when she grows up, she will have some survival skills. She will always know for the rest of her life how to grow food. She will always know for the rest of her life how to cook. It's funny because, you know, one of my favorite shows is that Worst Cooks in America show, and she and I will sit and watch it together, and this happened tonight. You know, one of the contestants was trying to make something flavored with vanilla, and so they took a vanilla bean and threw it whole into the pot, and I just looked at her and I said, you know what he just did wrong, don't you? And she's like, yeah, you have to get the vanilla out of the pod. You have to split it open and scrape it. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. Now, there aren't too many 10-year-olds who know that. So not that that's a survival skill specifically, but the fact that she's savvy enough to be able to figure that out, you know, as a cook, does say something. So I don't worry too much about the fact that, you know, she's ever going to grow up and be living out of a out of the freezer with all the boxed microwave food. She will know how to make food. She will know how to cook, how to grow her own food. She knows how to sew. She knows how to. And I can't tell you how many people I run into who can't sew a seam or a button. I mean, these are simple sewing things. Come on, guys. You know, sewing is really not that difficult. You can't sew a button on your pants, really.
Look, if I can, anybody can.
Well, you know what? One of my favorite stories about my first husband was the fact that he was a dentist and he was forever putting stitches in people's mouths after he would, you know, take out a tooth or whatever. And he's very happily and very neatly stitching people's gums together with what? A needle and basically thread. It's, you know, the same thing. But he couldn't sew a button on a pair of pants. And I was like, well, wait a minute. You can sew people's mouths together, but you can't put a button on a pair of pants? That makes no sense. And I had to teach him how to sew a button. So it's amazing the things people think they can't do. Persephone has, you know, gone through the raising of the chickens with us, so she knows how to take care of livestock. She has a jumping off point. It may not have been her favorite thing to do, but she knows how to do it.
Yeah, she sat with me and I showed her how to sew with the sewing machine when I was making the robe.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, and this is really, I think, and it's its own reward too, because now she has a basic skill. Now she can say to herself, you know, what if I do this instead of doing it that way? What will happen? And it teaches her to try to venture, to, make things that are more interesting, you know, than maybe what she's been taught. So I just see it as a win-win all the way around.
Yeah. And this is the way it should be. I mean, I learned most of these kind of skills. I learned to cook standing next to my mother and cooking.
Right.
And that allowed me to then be able to, like you said, branch out.
Mm-hmm.
I cooked with my mother as recently as, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little longer before she passed. But, you know, we would cook. We loved pastries. So we cooked a lot of dessert kind of stuff, experimented, failed, experimented with the change, failed, but we tried and we learned and I grew in so many ways from that experience. Built furniture with my father. We actually had a business building furniture and bunk beds, and I learned how to build mattresses. All working with my father.
Right.
Well, some of that was later as an adult, but it was still that with my father as a young adult learning something.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in school, young men still did home ec.
Yeah.
I actually learned to sew in school. Now, I made a shop apron, a heavy denim shop apron, but I learned to sew. And then the next semester when I was in shop, I wore the apron that I had made in class previously. And the cool thing was, girls were in shop class. And it wasn't like, you know, this gender-based segregation where, you know, girls learn to cook and sew and boys learn how to cut up wood and build stuff. At my school, in the, gosh, I guess this would have been early 70s, late 60s, early 70s. Because, I mean, I was relatively young. So I guess early 70s. And, you know, it's interesting to me to think that we're at a point now where there is that kind of, or there was a period where there was that kind of segregation, and now I think that's falling away again. But, you know, we didn't have, when I was growing up, those kind of gender-based, you know, boys build stuff and girls cook and sew. It was, you know, we were allowed to be rounded out people, and, you know, Perry can do all kinds of stuff. She's watched me do repairs. She's handed me tools. She's been there when I've been cutting wood. She's been there when I've been using the sewing machine. And, you know, and you gave her all of that, so she was willing and interested to sit and participate in these projects that she would not have been if you had not prepared her for this. And, you know, it's exciting. And we need to encourage, you know, people to raise, you know, give their children these opportunities. Let them see the beauty and joy of creating. You know, what's the difference between an art and a craft? No, not much. You know, I mean, you know, if it's usable, it's a craft, even if it's beautiful. You know, if it hangs on a wall, it's art. I don't know. I mean, I do know that the Celts and the background that I come from and you come from, everything is beautiful. Everything was created to your best ability. That artistic flair, even in something as simple as a footstool, was decorated. There was this expression of beauty and joy in all of these artifacts that we have that have come forward from the early Celtic time periods. And, you know, that's why, you know, Robin and I probably love that kind of expression and why we're encouraging that. But at the same time, we're you know, society as a whole is raising a bunch of glow children.
Well, you know, I think it's so much easier. And, you know, and I understand this. I'm a busy and, you know, have been up until you and I got married, but a single mom. My husband, Persephone's father, passed away in 2010. And those were some really tough years because I wasn't working when he passed. And I had to, and I've talked about this before, you know, sort of had to hit the ground running. She was 5 and used to having me home. And so it was a big adjustment for her as well, for mom to have to go to work and come home and then have to spend time doing homework and cooking dinner and, oh, now you want me to sit down and do some kind of craft with my kid too, or teach them some life skill? Geez, I just don't have the time to. So, I kind of get that. And how much easier it is to say to your kid, here's a tablet, go play some video games while I wash the dishes, while I do this, while I do that. Because you just want to get through it and you want to make it easy. But spending a few minutes, one or two times, helping them to understand why they do things and how something is done properly is going to save you so much time in the long run, because then, guess what? They can jump in and help. They can jump in and do something for you to free you up entirely. Persephone started doing her own laundry. And, you know, not that she's really proficient at it or for that matter, diligent about it, but she, even her doing one load of laundry is appreciated, because that means that one of us doesn't have to do it, mostly Terry. Terry, honestly, folks out there, Terry does almost all the laundry here in the house. He comes home on the weekends and starts doing laundry and finishes usually on Sunday, just before he has to drive back to Allentown. And that's a huge help to me. And one of the reasons that he was a keeper. He didn't just sit on the couch and watch football on Sunday afternoon and eat chips and, you know, do nothing. He actually, you know, pitches in around the house, which is amazing to me. So, but Perry is learning that. And Perry has learned, okay, I can do my own laundry. I know how to, you know, do dishes, put the dishes in a dishwasher or wash them by hand. She cleans her own bathroom. You know, certainly she's not great at any of these skills because, as I said, she's 10. But she makes an effort, and she does it, and she realizes she has to contribute as she's part of this household. I'm not a believer in, you know, paying kids for normal, everyday household chores. Something, you know, I will give her a couple of bucks if she'll go out and clean my car out and vacuum it out, because that's really not a household chore, although I do take her places in my car, but it's my car, and it's usually a mess because, you know, I've got mail or, you know, stuff from work in it or you name it, just stuff that gets thrown in there, receipts, you know, that kind of stuff that accumulates in your car. So if she'll do that for me, yeah, I'll give her a couple of bucks for that. But for keeping her bathroom clean, for doing her laundry, for helping with the dishes, no. You live here, you participate, just the way Daddy and I participate. And a big part of this, getting your kids to participate in life in the house and learning life skills, is having parents who do them. So if you're a mom and you've got a partner, or you're a husband and you've got a partner, or a father and you've got a partner who will not participate in the keeping of the house, in the keeping of the garden, you know, buying of the food, going to the market and shopping, then the kids are not going to want to do it either. It's kind of like, well, that's mom's job. We don't have to do that. I actually have a good friend right now who's going through this with her her husband and her three kids. That's mom's job. She does all that stuff because we just sit on the couch and watch TV. We don't have to do any of that.
Well, that's because he doesn't do any of that.
Exactly. It's because her husband, just that's his example he's setting of, I'm going to sit here on the couch and let her, you know, work as many hours as I do during the day. And guess what? When I come home from work, I can sit on the couch and do nothing. But you have to do dishes and laundry and help the kids with their homework and put dinner on the table. And I'm just going to sit in here and watch TV. Now, part of that is on her, because she really should. She's a grown woman. Go in there and tell him to, hey, I need help. You know.
You allow them.
Yeah, exactly. She enables it. But on the other hand, he should stop being such a self-absorbed little shit and go, oh, maybe she needs help with something, you know? I mean, it's really two-sided. And you know what? We all have times where we've just overwhelmed and we need to sit down and relax. But...
Yeah, but how often is that at our house? How often is that sit down and relax at the kitchen table?
Well, yeah, we do, you know, but we do. But we also get our shit, you know, done for the most part.
But when we sit down at the kitchen table, we're still engaged. I mean, you might sit down and take a break while I'm folding laundry, or I might sit there and talk to you while I'm cooking.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but neither one of us is away. We're working together. And that's another thing that Perry sees is a team.
Right.
That works together to get stuff done. And, you know, I'm hoping that that's the example that's being set for whatever young man comes into her life. And hopefully she'll hold him to that standard.
Yeah, well, that's my intention. But the bottom line here is that if you let your kids stick their face in a tablet or in the TV or in a computer game or whatever, and they grow up, how are they going to know how to feed themselves? How are they going to know how to do their own laundry? How are they going to know? They're not. So you've really got, and honestly, folks, I don't mean to sound like a doomsayer or some crazy survivalist or anything, but I really, really, truly believe in my heart that when kids who are my daughter's age are grown, they may need these skills more than children do right at this moment. I think things are going to get tougher. I think financially we are headed in a very unstable direction. This country, it's getting harder and harder for people to live on two salaries. The standard of living that we had, say, in the 50s and 60s is not attainable for more and more people. There are more and more hungry people in this country. There are more and more people who are homeless. There are more and more people who are living paycheck to paycheck and just barely keeping a roof over their head. And these are not people who are making, less than $20,000, let's say, for a family of four. I mean, people who really struggle. These are people who make pretty decent money. You know, $100,000 is not a lot of money anymore. You got two people in the household making $50,000 a year, and you're bringing home that $100, and you can't make it stretch for a family of four, even a family of two. It's not as easy as it was. Used to be $100,000 was thought of as a lot of money to bring home, and it's not anymore.
Now, we're at the bottom of the hour. Let's go ahead and take a short break.
Oh, sure.
And let's see, we're coming up on Yule here in just a couple of weeks, and everybody's getting excited, and Darb the Bard has a great song called "On Midsummer's Day" or "Midwinter's Day," excuse me, "Midwinter's Day," all about Yule, and seemed like a good thing to play tonight. So everybody, listen to this great song "On Midwinter's Day" by Darb the Bard. And then, of course, an ad and some other stuff. And we'll be back here in just a few minutes. But everybody stick around. And remember, we are taking calls at 646-564-9714. See you in just a few minutes after the break.
Midwinter's Day. winds have returned to the earth. For 3 days the sun has been still in the sky, but the time has now come for his birth. His birth, oh.
So come on, you people, come and sing with me. Join our voices and sing the long night away. All over the land a chorus of voices will sing for the rising sun on midwinter's day.
International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more. All available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio. So go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
One power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
You're listening to Terry and Robin on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are under a shady tree with Terry and Robin. Hey, Robin.
Hello.
So before the break, we were talking about involving children in, tasks and teaching them skills that have a reward at the end of them. Rather than the constant stimulation of some sort of, electronic device, but actually engaging them in, cooking and crafts and
gardening and sewing,
gardening, and woodworking, whatever it is we do, involve them. And, even cleaning and, whatever it is, teach them skills that will help them to be, able to take care of themselves, as well as just it improves their imaginations, and it's just a good way to raise good young witches and good young people of whatever expression of faith, honestly. Now, what we haven't talked about is how do we... we talked a little bit about how we can do that in our own home, but, I was thinking, I learned a lot of this in school, and, nowadays we're so focused on, that common core stuff and, teaching children five ways to do, 1 + 1 = 2 and stuff that amazes me in so many ways and frustrates me. But we spend so much time on stuff like that. And honestly, test scores in American schools are tanking.
Yeah.
We're not the leaders in the world anymore. And you have to look at what's different. Well, we focused on this stuff, but we've taken away shop because we have to focus on education in 6 different ways to solve math problems. And we've taken away home ec because, I don't know, that's, degrading or something. But, I mean, it's we've lost... banned in so many places. We need to engage our school districts, engage our schools, and be involved. And we need to get, stuff like that back into school curriculums where young people are taught life skills as well as, education stuff. As well as the reading, writing, and arithmetic, but and teach cursive for the love of all that is holy. Teach cursive, because if they can't read cursive, they can't read the Declaration of Independence in its original form. It's a foreign language to so many children that are only taught to read, block print. All of these things only happen when we let them happen. We've got to be engaged and involved.
Yeah.
What say you to that?
Well, I think that some of the problems with losing things like home ec and band and shop, many things, in fact, but some had to do with budgetary constraints with schools, especially in the late 70s and early 80s. And then, liability, kids getting hurt in shop and even in home ec, and, you know, parents suing the schools. And I mean, it's just a whole myriad of things. The teachers who would normally have taught, say, you know, math and then also taught home ec, the school systems can't afford to pay them to teach the extra classes. And if they're not going to get paid to teach the classes, they're probably not going to want to do it. So there are a lot of things that come into play there. I think in my high school, I think I was one of the last kids, and I graduated in 1980 from high school. I was one of the last classes to have home economics. The following year, the teacher who taught it was retiring, and there were no plans to replace her. And I learned a lot in that class. I learned how to bake chocolate chip cookies. I learned how to sew, how to use a pattern and you know, actually sew a dress. There were how to put out a grease fire, which has come in handy many, many, many times in my life. So, you know, there were a lot of things that I remember from that class.
Got a joke in there somewhere.
Yeah, I know. And and the same thing, you know, for simple stuff like learning to balance a checkbook. Our home economics teacher taught us how to balance a checkbook. It was just, you know, something you had to learn to know how to do. So she took it upon herself to teach us that. Was it part of the approved curriculum? I have no idea, but she taught us. So, I mean, these are the things.
How about a household budget?
Yeah. I mean, that was part of what she did. She gave us like a household budget. She taught us how to do a checkbook, how to figure out, you know, tax and how to figure a tip. She taught us a lot of common sense stuff that kids don't get today in school. And I guess in some ways, you know, it's being left to the parents now to teach them all this stuff. And it's unfortunately, parents are being stretched because both parents having to work, these life skills that they're not learning in school anymore are not being taught in the home because nobody has time. They'll come home and open a can or throw something in the microwave, and so cooking is becoming a lost art. And, you know, gardening and taking care of livestock, people don't do this anymore. You know, people don't have a couple backyard chickens just to have them, you know.
I drive back and forth. So I drive, you know, hours every week, listening to the radio in the car. And there are two companies now that will send you prepackaged foods, prepackaged ingredients, and recipes, and lessons on how to use these recipes and these ingredients and prepare meals. So you don't have to go shopping. And the only reason that these kind of companies exist is because of what you were just saying.
Yeah.
You know, it amazes me that there is a market for those kind of companies.
Yeah. You know, there's a person at work who is a vegan vegetarian. And every day, this person brings in their little box that came in there. They actually order this food online, and they order like 2 weeks at a time, and it all comes, and it's all in a box, and it's all processed, which I keep trying to explain to this person kind of defeats the purpose of being vegan. If you're not actually eating fresh, raw food, vegetables and fruits and stuff, you're really not doing yourself any favor being a vegan if you're eating everything that's full of, like, sodium and chemicals and it gets microwaved and, you know, it's just, I don't understand, you know? I mean, I can't make this person understand. But I'm being a vegetarian. I'm good for my health, you know? No, it's not. It's full of chemicals, you know? It's hysterical to me. I can't, and she pays, you know, $150 a week just to have basically lunch and dinner because they don't give breakfasts. It's just lunch and dinner, and it's like a budget gourmet type meal, you know, that you can buy in a box in the supermarket. Baffles me. For $150, I feed all three of us, unless than that. Kills me.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, but yeah, you know, the fact that there's a market for this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Before I say whatever else is going to come out of my mouth, I'm just going to say I look forward to your letters. You can email me at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. Just go ahead and send it straight to me.
And in the subject, you can just write Terry's a jerk or something like that.
Flame alert, whatever. Oh my gosh, there's so much to say to that. If you want to live a specialty lifestyle like that, first and foremost, I'm not convinced that vegan's healthier than omnivores. We need a certain amount of cooked animal flesh for brain development. That's just scientifically proven. Some amount of cooked animal flesh has to enter your body to release, to bring in enzymes and amino acids that develop the brain. That's part of what helped us to move from cave people to hunter-gatherer. Ancient people ate what they could get their hands on and what they could kill and cook. So, I'm baffled at the idea of, like, you know, trying to picture a caveman vegan, and I'm thinking that, you know, that's just, you know, like a bad hunter or something. But but if you want to live this specialty lifestyle, learn how to live that lifestyle. You know, learn about it. You know, we're so far removed from our food. Good gods. And if you're going to live vegan or even vegetarian, I mean, if you're going to live this lifestyle, go to the grocery store and buy green stuff and eat it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, I'm blown away. And she would probably not like me much if she started telling me about this stuff that she buys. And I would probably tell her that she'd be better off eating the box. It's closer to her food. But, you know, people, if you're going to learn about what you're doing. We've got to get back to our food. It's not just a health thing. It's a whole spiritual thing. We talk about honoring this planet that supports and sustains us. We talk about the Sabbath. And there's too many people out there that think that meat comes on plastic. You know, don't go out and hunt because, you know, you don't have to kill animals. You can go to the grocery store and get it. I mean, and that disconnect is astonishing to me. And then we celebrate the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is this whole cycle of holidays celebrated by agrarian people that celebrate the wheel of the year and how it affected our lives and the lives of our ancestors. And it's all about our connection to the earth. And then you add to that what Robin teaches about, you know, how the closer to the garden we're eating, the healthier it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, steaming vegetables, if you must cook them at all, steam them instead of completely demolishing them and boiling them to death. death. Steaming them so that they actually still have their nutrients and you're not cooking it out into the water that you pour down the drain.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be better off throwing away the boiled vegetables and drinking the water. So all of this involves some amount of education. And if we're not being taught in the schools, as so many people have not been lately, we need to learn this for ourselves. We need to have conversations. We need to read books. Ask people that do this. Talk to Robin. Email Robin, littlestonegrids @gmail.com, and ask her about food stuff. We're talking a lot about the spiritual aspects of getting back to your food. That's one of my pet projects or topics. All of this involves education. And if we do this for ourselves and then show this to our children, now we've returned back to the beginning of this topic. And we're talking about giving our children skills and life skills as well as its own reward. Because growing your own food and then eating it right out of the garden, it's healthy and it's rewarding. I mean, here you're picking food and you're washing it off and you're chewing on raw food. How healthy is that, Robin?
Oh, yeah. Well, amazingly healthy. Because most of the time when you're growing your own garden, you're not going to be using the insecticides that commercial farmers do. The fruit is going to taste better, or the food, vegetables, whatever it is, are also going to taste better because they were grown with love and, you know, not in these mass sort of plantings. There's a big movement these days to let plants grow together as they naturally would occur in nature. It's amazing how if you plant certain plants together, they feed each other and they flourish even more. This is a whole science. It's becoming a whole science now. And when you plant things, you know, we were always taught you plant your row of carrots, then you plant your row of cabbage, then you plant your row of, you know, tomatoes or whatever. But now the idea is you plant a tomato plant, and then around the tomato plant, within close proximity, you plant a different plant that's going to feed that tomato plant what it needs. And then around the outside of that, you plant something else that's going to feed that, you know, and so on and so forth out in layers. And they're finding the yield is much greater, fewer bugs, because these plants have developed a sort of symbiotic relationship where they give each other what they need, and so they're not weak, and so the bugs don't eat them as much. It's amazing.
That and some flowers give off smells that cut down on the predatory vegetable eating bugs. So
yeah,
planting
marigolds.
Planting marigolds around your garden, but it also cuts down on vegetable eating insects. That's kind of cool.
That's very cool. Yeah, and you know, and they're finding out more and more about the complexity of nature. You know, this whole thing about trees talking to each other through the fungus or mushroom network that runs underground between the trees, and that the trees actually communicate with each other and send nutrients to each other. So when they have a tree in their vicinity that is floundering and not doing well, all the other trees in that tree community send nutrients to that tree that it needs through that mushroom fungus under the ground. It's absolutely fascinating.
AWA.
So, excuse me?
Is it AWA? From, well, now the name of the movie's left my brain. Avatar.
All right. I have no idea what you're talking about, but okay.
AWA was the goddess, the mother goddess.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
So.
Sorry, geek alert.
Yeah, geek alert, exactly. So But anyway, so it's just fascinating finding out what these trees do for each other. And, you know, obviously we're finding that, that plants, smaller plants, do this as well. So never underestimate the power of this sort of letting things grow naturally in nature and then just what they call now wild crafting, which is what we do a little bit here on the property. You know, we found last year, we found this beautiful huge wild grapevine growing. And we thought, well, great idea. We'll pull it down off the tree that it's on, that it's growing up on, and we'll give it an arbor and we'll let it grow out here. Well, in the process, we apparently cut back or broke off some of the vine, and this year had almost no grapes. Because with wild grapes, if you prune them, they will not grow grapes again for another two to three years. Who knew this?
Wow.
Live and learn.
Yeah.
Which,
so, but yeah, also we discovered by missing the end of the tomato harvest last year, quite by accident because we were just very busy, and a lot of the tomatoes just fell off and lay on the ground, and then we just kind of covered everything for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, everything grew back.
Yeah, we had tomatoes galore.
Grew back all on its own, almost like, you know, nature. And, you know, and so it reseeded itself, and nature took over. And that was a very powerful lesson for us about this wildcrafting, that, you know what, it's going to happen on its own. Let it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
And benefit from it. And thank the goddess for what she does for us. She provided us with tomatoes this year out of love. Just provided these tomatoes. We didn't have to plant or do anything. We just let them grow.
Yep.
If we stay out of the way, nature will do.
This is true.
Just a thought. We are at the top of the hour.
Huh.
Yeah, it flew by.
Yep, it did.
So let's talk a little bit about how people get in touch with us.
Aha. Well, you mentioned the email address before, but I will give it again. If you want to email either myself or Terry, feel free to send your email to littlestonebridge@gmail.com. You also can reach us on Facebook at Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings page, or you can reach us at our individual pages. Mine is Robin A. McKean, McKean. Or you can reach Terry at Rev Terry Power HP. And that's how you reach us.
There you go. All righty. Let's see some stuff coming up for the rest of the year. We have quite a bit of activity going on. Let's see. First, I'm going to talk about Tuesday and Thursday nights and what Robin and I are going to be doing. Next Tuesday night, we're going to be talking about continuing our series and working toward finishing up the whole series of shows we've been doing on the components of ritual. And we're going to be talking about energy raising. We're going to be talking about energy raising for a solitary ritual, for a small group, for a medium group, and energy raising for huge rituals. And we just attended, back at Florida Pagan Gathering, a monstrous 300-people ritual. And they did a great job with this ritual. You know, and so we're going to talk about ways to raise energy in all of those. Then on a week from tonight, on the 8th, we're going to have Amakayla Gaston. And she is a fascinating person to talk to, and I'm looking forward to having this conversation with her. She's been very involved with education around the world and cultural outreach. Very fascinating lady. On the 13th, On Tuesday the 13th, we're going to be having our full moon ritual, our last full moon ritual of this calendar year. And then on the 15th, we're going to have Kaliana as a guest here. The 20th is Yule, or, well, depending on your calendar, Yule or the day before Yule. But anyway, it's going to be our Yule ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And celebrating Yule, you want to tell all your friends and come to this ritual. It's we're going to have a good time. And let's see, then on the 27th, on Tuesday the 27th, we're going to have a show about the closing of a ritual. The thank yous and the releasing and, thanking all the participating energy forms and spirits. And then on the third of January, we're going to wrap up everything about what we've been talking about, ritual components, with a kind of a final wrap-up show. And so that's pretty much what's going on Tuesday and Thursday nights. We've got a couple of Thursdays. We're still working on nailing down our guests. On Mondays, all the way through December, you want to listen to Voice of Olympus with Hercules, Invictus, and Athena Victory. Great shows. We're also on a few Monday nights, we're having some interfaith dialogue going on in the second half of the show. So you want to tune in for some of that. And on Wednesday nights, we've got Dax Axelrod with Economics and the Spiritual Path. It's a fascinating show. He's got some really good ideas about decision-making and how decision-making and our spiritual path go together and what we place value on, how that affects our decisions. So you really just need to tune in and listen on Wednesday nights. And then in the coming year, we're looking at adding another show, and I will just tease you for right now. We're in final negotiations with another host, so I'm not ready to tell you what it is, but it's going to be interesting. And lastly, we are working on the schedule for the new year. So it is, we need some topic ideas. So if you've got ideas for what you would like to hear us talk about, please email those to us at the littlestonebridge@gmail.com address. All righty. Well, that's about it for the night. My lady, did you have anything you wanted to say as we wrap up?
That was a loaded comment. Send us an email and tell us what you want us to talk about.
Well.
But anyway.
Give us some topic ideas for shows. How about
okay.
That?
Yeah, that'll work. No, that's good. I'm good. I am ready for, personally, ready to shut my eyes and go to bed. And it's Thursday night, 10 o'clock here on the East Coast of the United States, and I am ready for a good 8-hour nap before I have to get up and go to work tomorrow.
All right. All right. Well, then I guess it's time to let you go. And
okay.
I want to thank you for being here and being my partner and my best friend and everything. You are my everything. I love
it's
you.
It's always
thank
my
you.
Pleasure, sweetheart. And the feeling is very, very mutual. I miss you. Safe travel tomorrow.
Yes, ma'am. I'm coming home.
Yeah.
So thank all of our listeners for participating, taking time from your lives to share with us. We are honored, and we love you. Thanks for being with us, and we wish you all a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thank
for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.